We are now joined by our all-star race winner, Denny Hamlin. Denny, congratulations. We'll go ahead and open it up to questions. If you have one, please raise your hand, and I will send a mic over to you. We can go to Jordan first, and then to Tim, and then to Matt.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. How did you think the aero package did today?
I mean, I could pass. I can tell you that. I thought it was good. I mean, it's still Dover. It still, forces you to kind of have to drive it a certain way. I mean, good cars were up front. Practice and all that shit just doesn't matter. It's the best cars and whatnot worked their way to the front. And I thought that it was good. I mean, if anything, it's a little different because it's not just a package change. We did have practice, so that tightens the field up anyway. But, from what I could see, I thought that track position was not as important as it was in years past.
It seemed like watching it and then talking to the drivers that it was the cars were harder to control, maybe?
Yes.
More on the edge, if you will. Is that accurate?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was, and you add the extra horsepower to it. So, you're going in the corner at a slower rate of speed, so the tires are the one that has to make up the difference for grip that you have lost, and then you're applying more power when you put the throttle down. It makes the car further out of control. So, as you could see, we were running all over the racetrack. I thought NASCAR and the whole team did a great job preparing the track as good as they possibly could. And, this is as good as you'll get.
We're going back to Tim.
Tim Moore, Motorsports Anchor, Anthony Wynn, Denny. Just following up with that, the commonality I got from the drivers post-race that were in the top five, they said that when they come here next time, they want to see the resin again. Are you on that same boat?
Yeah, I'm good with it. Like I said, I thought it was prepared nicely. And to me personally, and again, it's different for everyone. I mean, if you talk to the 20th place guy, he'll probably say it was horrible. But it didn't seem as aerosensitive for whatever reason, whether it's resin or whatever. I thought the resin definitely equalized the lap time to the top from what the preferred line was on the bottom. So, just looking at lap times on my dash, it really didn't matter what lane I was in. I could run the same time, which that's what makes the mile and a half racing as good as it is on super wide tracks, is that we got a lane to go to, and the way they prepared the track, it gave us that option.
And any idea what you're going to do with $1 million?
Mom needs some furniture for her new house.
Come over here to Matt and then to Dustin in front of him.
Matt Weaver, Motorsport.com. You've made a point over the last handful of years that you're counting wins and it's about the bigger picture.
This one doesn't count.
And that's exactly where I'm going at. So it doesn't.
Bullshit.
It doesn't count, but it does count because it's an all-star
Pole
race.
Doesn't count. That would have been 50.
So where are you at when you kind of throw that all into the blender?
That's my career. All the wins that really matter don't count.
But it does matter, though, in the sense, right? Like it matters to the bank account or to the legacy.
It's cool. It'll go on your resume when they're debating whether to put you in or not. But it doesn't go on the stat sheet.
And then we had Heather in here earlier and just talking about your place in the company and what you continue to mean to the team and to their partners. And she had kind of alluded to that at some point, I don't know if it's been recently or whatnot, it's like we ask them, one more year, and I don't know when the last time you heard one more year was. Are you sure you're dead set on next year being it, or can they get one more year out of you?
Well, I mean, I want to finish like this. I do. I do not want it. I don't want to go through the regression. My ego will not allow me to be mediocre. So, I mean, I'm going to have to leave some on the table at some point, right? I mean, you have to, in order to know that you can win your last race, you're going to have to go into the next year saying, I'm not doing it, but I could have.
Dustin Albino, JC. Denny, at the start of your career, this statistically was one of your worst tracks, if not the worst, and now you've got 3 straight wins here. So where do you feel like that turned, and do you feel like this is your best track now?
Jimmy Johnson and Martin Truex. I mean, I just spent an enormous amount of time studying those two guys. they taught me really how to go around the racetrack just by leading by example. So, you know, obviously, you know, I'm a student of it. And, you know, when I went through the struggles here, and Wally Brown actually saw him in victory lane, he's like, man, I remember 20 years ago. It's just you come here, you're three laps down every time. And so, you know, what a change. But, you know, just being able to adapt my style to someone else's style that performs well at this racetrack. So, you know, I think that's probably my strength, is just not being stuck to one style. I can go to a racetrack. If it's got a different tire that wants something different, I'll drive it differently. And so I think that's, you know, the ability to, you know, back when I was studying them is just when you were starting to get, like, more onboard videos and whatnot. You know, we didn't have data or anything like that. But you just I just watched lap after lap after lap and said, well, I'm going to copy that, right or wrong, and it started working. Isn't my best. I mean, it's hard to argue gap to competition that it's not. I mean, there's Kansas is just one that it's just really, really strong for me. But yeah, it's in the top three. Thank you.
We're gonna come over here to the right.
Buddy Poli, Above the O-Line Media. After coming up to the competition caution, the top five, you guys were all kind of grouped together. But when we went to the restart, you were able to pull away. What adjustments did you guys make, but also did anything in the track change?
Are you talking about specifically stage three? Yeah. They just made – I mean, it was one freaking restart where I started first and was able to stay first. That was the biggest – difference. I just could not get through the first corner on the restarts. And so, you know, if there's something that we got to work on, it's going to be that. I mean, if the caution comes out, I just think there's no way we win. I don't care what tires or who stays or whatever. It's just, we were not good through the first couple corners. And so, I'll be honest, when we started that third stage, this car was very easy to drive. So, they nailed the adjustments. I mean, you know, one thing I've noticed about this team over the last couple of years with Chris Gayle leading is that we can be leading and dominating, and he'll still go make adjustments. And, you know, he does not just leave things as is. And so they constantly make it better, and they nailed it there in the third stage.
We're going to come down here to Kelly, and then in the back to Davey.
Kelly Crandall, racer.com. Denny hiding behind the cameras over
here.
I know you'll do a full breakdown on the podcast as you always do, but I wanted to get your reaction to this. I'm going to ask it anyway. The final segment started without two drivers who had previously locked in. So it lost two all-star drivers with Chase and Chastain because they were caught up in earlier incidents. There was about a handful of others that were damaged and out there riding around, had no shot. Is this Exhibit A of why the Open should come back for this race to lose two all-stars before it even starts and have others just without a shot?
Yeah, to be fair to them, yes, correct. I would say that, you know, I couldn't tell. Did the all-star race start at lap zero or did it start at lap 150? The official all-star race. Like, see, there you go. I don't think so, because when you're only going to have 25 cars in the last 200. So when y'all print off a sheet, is it going to have 38 car or 36 cars, or is it going to have 26?
Yeah.
So I think we should know when the All-Star race starts. Let's start there first. But it's I don't even know what your question was. Well, yeah, I mean it stinks, right? Because yes, right. Of course. First thing is let's give Dover their points race back, and then let's figure out where we're gonna go, and then figure out the format. Let's start there. Okay, then. I guess it started at lap 150.
We're going to go to Davey, then Jordan. Davey in the middle.
Davey Siegel with SiriusXM. You kind of answered my question, but now that you have the million, you would still prefer a points race here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I just think there's, you know, I don't know, just me, but I feel like an all-star race should be at night. I don't even care where it is. Like, at night was always something that was and I'm not trying to throw much. They did as good as they possibly could, given, you know, where they put this track and the schedule and whatnot. But at night somewhere, I definitely prefer Dover as a points race. I just think that there's no other track like this on our schedule, and it is so unique, and it requires such a unique style of driving, far different than any oval that we go to, that you can't lose tracks like this in our points schedule. I just think it's too valuable, and the fans really, really are passionate here, and so I'm a fan of this place.
You were talking about studying, and a lot of JGR leadership over the last year and a half, maybe more so than normal, has been talking about your commitment to the game, your studying. I'm not trying to have you give away any trade secrets here, but when you said you learned from Martin and you learned from Jimmy, what is it that you study, and what do you think sets you apart from being able to compartmentalize things that you see, whether it's in data or in practice on the track, and then implement it to make yourself better?
Yeah, I went through a transition probably around, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, maybe even more than that, where I don't even care about lap times anymore, like practice and ranks and fast laps, like it's totally irrelevant to me. I have that liberty because I know what winning feels like at most tracks. So I just try to replicate the feel. As long as I have the feel, the lap times are just, it's nonsense until we get to Sunday, because like today, you know, the track's 30, 40 degrees hotter. We're going to have all the race cars on the racetrack, and you're going to have to be good in traffic and lap cars. And so I think my experience is carrying me more now than ever. And it's just, I'm fortunate to have run so many laps at these tracks and now won so many that it's really easy for me to just replicate the feeling that I had last year here and then the year before that. And so that's just all I search for. It doesn't matter whether we have more horsepower, less downforce. I'm searching for a feel, and if I got it, I know that it's up to, then we're going to win.
Cool. And just to clarify when the race actually started, so there were three separate events, segment one, segment two, and then the main started at lap 150. Just so everyone's clear on that. Okay. Are there any other questions down here? We'll come to Lee and to Holly.
Three separate events. You got the most for your money today.
Lee Spencer, SiriusXM, NASCAR Radio, and CatchFence.com. I wanted to follow up on the restarts, because after I talked to you, I talked to Chris, and he said you even tried restarting out of different lanes to try to figure out what was going on. And I'm just kind of curious, because that's really – the only weakness that you had all day were the restarts.
Yeah, and it was my weakness at Texas, too. It's the reason we didn't, you know, win Texas is restarts also. So it's something that I got to get better at. It's a gaping hole in my game right now.
How do you do that? I mean, what will you put into that? I mean, what do you study? So, because you are like a student of everything at this point. I mean, even your teammates say how much time and effort you put into just being the best guy on the track every week. And I'm just wondering, what do you do?
I know it's got to be mostly me. I've never been like really, really good at restarts. But, you know, some of it too is where I guide the team to make my car fast. And sometimes it's not fast for one or two laps, and then I need races to play out a certain way for it to all come together. And if they come down to shootouts at the end, it's, you know, the guide and the direction I send the team is not advantageous sometimes for that. So I think that some of it is how we build our car. It's not good for a few corners, but other than that, I think it's – I just have to see and study what guys in the front row do. Then, you know, there was one restart in particular. It might be the last one that I just need to see, well, how did Chase get through turns one and two so much faster than I did? I can think of one thing that I probably short-shifted a little bit too quickly. Into fifth, going into the corner, lost momentum. Bam, he just barely clears me. So there's little things. It's all in the tiny margins that you have to figure this thing out.
And just the fact of you giving back. You and I talked about your kids at 2311 that you've really worked with them at, like, Kansas and tracks where Tyler and Bubba have struggled to make them better. Chase said just, you know, relying on you to come into Dover because he's finished second to you twice. You know, still there's learning to be done, but to have that opportunity of you giving back and making both organizations better, is that going to be part of your legacy, is just uplifting everybody, including yourself?
Well, it's an obligation you have, right? It's why, you know, Joe Gibbs Racing values me so much, is that, you know, they got young guys in that room that, you know, can listen every Monday and listen every Saturday after practice of, you know, first question, Denny's, what's the track going to do tomorrow, right? And it's just, you know, that's valuable information that that all those teams get to, you know, make their adjustments with, and you know, we'll debrief tomorrow, and, you know, I'm sure they'll be listening very carefully, right? But it's just, that's part of your job. It's not just about getting the results for yourself. That Joe Gibbs Racing expects me to lead the team in the right direction and give the feedback that makes all cars better.
What about Holly?
Holly Kane with the NASCAR Wire Service. Denny, covered your entire career. I remember you as a rookie. Do you feel like now, with the success you're having on track, with the success your team is having, that you're kind of, you know, peaking, your career is up there, that this is where you have felt the most confident?
Oddly enough, yes. I mean, I just it's very weird and unique at this point in my career that I'm in this place, but, like, if we're going to a track that turns left, I expect to win every single week. And so this is just very unique, especially in the era where, you know, all the cars are so similar, and, you know, I'm racing guys that, you know, that have all my information. They see my setups, things like that, and still can, you know, get it done in the end. It's very gratifying from my standpoint to still be competitive at my age.
Are there any final questions? All right, Denny, congratulations. Thanks for your time.